So, all right. Without further ado, let's bring in my guy, Big Z, with big news.
What's up, Chills? How you doing, brother?
Yes, but we should try. I should have thought of this before, you know. I mean, trying to get Dr. Chow on. But first and foremost, dude, go get Max Crosby.
I'm with you. Go get him. I mean, is there seriously a second or a third or even a first-round pick that somebody thinks the Eagles could make that would position you better in the next 2 or 3 years to go and compete for a Super Bowl? I mean, I don't even think you could have the home run of the draft and they're not going to contribute as well as Max Crosby would. So now I don't know. I think it's a complex situation, Sills. By the way, just in general, before we get into the specifics, how crazy was that, dude? That came out last night. I'm like, what the?
My phone blew up. My phone started blowing up. But I didn't know what the hell had happened.
I believe it. So crazy stuff, man, what happened with it. But I think it would be a great sign for the Eagles or a great move for the Eagles. I know I kind of poo-pooed it earlier in the summer, but you know, I thought they were going to pay Jalen Phillips at the time. I thought they were going to get a deal done there. And you know, I was talking to John about this, and he said this one key phrase like 5 times to me. He's like, they have the budget allocated for edge rusher. And the Eagles offered up to $27.5, $28 million on Jalen Phillips. So if that's what the allocated budget was, and that was told to me to be included with what they projected to pay to the defensive line and everybody else, say Jalen Carter. So if they have the $28 million budget, I mean, go and get them and trade Nolan Smith so you don't have to pick up the $13 million fifth-year option. You know, I would make the move. I think it's a great move. And I'll say this right now, even if the Eagles don't make the move for Crosby and whoever does, and maybe it might be the Raiders, but I guarantee you, Max Crosby is still a very, very highly effective football player. All right. I know people are going to act like all of a sudden there's some sort of injury that would keep him out of football forever. I mean, we have revisionist history. When the Raiders sat him down for the last 2 games of the year, he was pissed off because he wanted to finish the season. So he was fine. I mean,
he was playing with it too.
Right. So he's going to be just fine. I think he's a great player. And I mean, if you already had the budget, shit, man, send the pick and go and get the player. Do you want to compete or do you want a fuddy-duddy? You know?
Here's something else to think about. You know, if you look at the deal too for Trey Hendrickson and what they did, they paid him less annually than what Jalen Phillips got. It came in a snudge under $30 million with all the 4 years and all. I mean, dude, and if you could get this guy for a – how about this one? Would you be open to this, Xander? I'll trade you Nolan Smith, and I'll trade you a conditional pick. If he plays over 800 snaps, if he gets me 10 sacks, it goes to a one. And if it doesn't, say he comes in at 700.
Yeah, but, dude, here's the problem. Here's the thing, I think.
Yeah, but you're going to get an all-pro player if he does.
No, I like your move. I'm not saying I dislike your move. I just wonder, like, what are the Raiders thinking? Because, you know, I know everybody likes the – all right, I agree. They're not going to get 2 first-round picks. They're
not.
No way. You know, now, the interesting part of this equation, though, is they thought they were.
Yes.
Before they made all these moves. So how does that change the organizational thinking? I mean – you operate differently as an organization when you have 4 first-round picks as opposed to when you have 2. You know, these are things that they thought they had, and they acted on that, you know, yesterday or 2 days ago with the legal negotiating window opening up. And now you have Crosby back on the books and 2 less first-round picks. I mean, I'm not saying they don't have the cash to pay for everybody. They do because they had so much cap space. But that doesn't mean this is how they wanted to allocate the cap this way if Crosby was still here. You know, so do they pay less on defense, and would they have rather went and got, you know, a great draft pick or a great receiver somewhere? Would they have traded up one of the first for AJ? I don't know what they would have done differently, but I do wonder what the ripple effects of it are. And if they're still looking to move them, I would definitely be in that conversation. I mean, look, the Eagles were in the conversation for Trey. That's what it was reported as, which, like, thank God that didn't happen.
Would you be interested in sending A.J. Brown to the Raiders for Crosby? And
it wouldn't be my first choice.
Okay.
But if the point where, you know, if it did get to a point where the things are just untenable with A.J., which, you know, you and John have pointed out all summer that the player is capable of making that happen. I mean, you can shut him up and say shut up, but if they make it miserable, I mean, anybody who's ever, you know, worked with somebody or worked in a place where you have employees or owned a business and you hire people, you can't really have everybody just, you know, butting heads. It's bad for the chemistry of the building. So
absolutely,
you know, I guess AJ could make it like that. And if that's the case, then yeah, I would consider doing it to get the deal done.
My take has always been on that. There's things behind the scenes that you don't like that goes on a team or in a business. But when you have to perform, that fucking shit goes away. Because you know why? I'm with you, Xander. I'm not going to work with people I want to sit around and have a bullshit relationship with. Yeah. That's not, and nor are you. That's, things happen, man. So you know, you're a business owner now. And you know what? I told you this before, that I worked on Wall Street with Bear Stearns. And there's a thing called a business plan, right? You know, there's business plans.
Yep.
And so when the Raiders are putting a business plan together, and then all of a sudden that business plan has to be modified, because what happened? Those two ones now for future picks down the road, when you're looking at that business plan has to be modified. That's the problem that I have with the Raiders here. And think about what else happened too. So, you know, I posted, I go, well, this affects the Kobe Dean deal. And everyone's like, wait a minute, the Raiders said they're going to, that's not the point. The Raiders now have to find money to be able to restructure to get that guy's money back on the books again, so that after 4 o'clock, he's on the books. The Raiders don't want to allocate money to players that they don't want to allocate money to. Now they have to restructure to make room. That's not the business plan that they're looking for right now. They basically shredded their business plan. The Ravens fucked them in the picks, and they fucked them in their future.
They did. You're right, dude. You're right.
I mean, that's the problem, and that's the sin of it here. So, but this is where Howie comes in. Bro, this is what I do. Hey, listen, you got a dent in the fender.
Well, remember.
Armando loved my take. I go, Armando, it's like a Ferrari with a dent. Go get the fucking car. You can always fix the dent.
Yep.
I mean,
well, and another caveat, Sills, that's worth mentioning here is the Eagles. John Spytek is the general manager of the Raiders. He was formerly with the Eagles front office. Him and Howie Roseman are pretty close. And John Spytek called Howie Roseman, a guy that has been a big mentor to him. They're very close. So I'm not saying that Howie's just going to bail him out. But I am saying, you know, people make deals with guys that they trust. So if Howie can come in there and get the skinny from Spytek and say, hey, look, I'll help you. I can't give you 2 ones, but I am willing to give you 23. Can you give me back a third or a fourth rounder or something like that? Can they make a deal happen? I think that's a warm lead as opposed to a cold email. You know what I mean? So I think that's something to keep an eye on as well.
Here's something else to put on there too, that John Spytek, where did he go to school? He went to Michigan.
Did he?
He played with Tom Brady. He was also instrumental in getting Brady to Tampa Bay. He was the guy that had a conversation with him. It wasn't really Jason Light. It was John Spytek. So the Bucs would be another team that I would think that would be in a conversation. Now, for them, the Bucs don't like to spend money. You think Howie would have a hang up on the $35 million?
I mean, I think it would be definitely.
If you allocated nearly 30 for what's his name, couldn't you find $5 million to make that happen?
You would think so, Sills, but I could see him also getting hung up on it because, you know, they do have kind of not a weird infatuation, but I don't know. This is just a me personal thing, and you tell me if I'm way off base. Sometimes, and I'm not an NFL GM, and I'm not professing to be one. All right, but sometimes. The common sense in me approach would be, I think teams in general are too in love with draft picks. It's not to say that draft picks aren't important. It's not to say that you don't need draft picks and rookie players, and you need a draft well for sustained success. That's not what I'm saying. But when you're a team that's a top five, top 10 team, or you're on the brink or on the bubble of competing for a Super Bowl, And in the Eagles' case, you've drafted 10 starters in the last five years. Like, dude, send the pick.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Do your knees make you feel older than you are? You're out here trying to have a hot girl summer at 35. You're on dating apps. You're saying yes to spontaneous trips. Maybe you're rediscovering your flexibility, and your knees are like, actually, we'd like to quit. The IncrediWear Infrared Knee Sleeve uses fabric tech designed to increase blood flow and help reduce pain and speed recovery, so your knees can actually keep up with your life. It's like giving your body the support it already wants while it heals, just without all the extra pain and drama. Wear it to the gym. Wear it on a date. Wear it while you're doing things I cannot say on this podcast. It's comfortable, breathable, and works 24/7. Go to freesocks.com and grab the IncrediWear knee sleeve and a free pair of socks with purchase. That's freesox.com. Because if something's going to give out, let it be him, not your knees.
Go get the great player to put you over the top. You know, we don't need a draft pick right now to prepare for 2029. We need to maximize our window of opportunity with A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts, you know, Saquon Barkley and this offensive line, because Saquon's 29. Jalen is getting older as a dual threat quarterback. A.J. Brown's best days might be behind him. The offensive line's best days might be behind him. I mean, this window is going to slam shut, and pretty soon you're going to have to replace a lot more guys than just A.J. Brown or Jalen Phillips. So I think, you know, going all in here is worth it instead of prioritizing the picks.
Why do you think they prioritize? Here, and I'll give it to you. I won't let you wait here. The average signing bonus for a first-round pick this coming season is going to be in the neighborhood of, like, around, let's see here. Signing bonuses at full guaranteed range around $27 million for the number one overall and approximately $7 to $8 million for the final pick that's sitting there at number 32. The top five picks, signing bonuses were $20 million. You got to go up to your owner, dude, and you got to go like this. Why I fucked up on that first pick. And you got to go there and go like this. Why isn't Nolan Smith playing? I gave the guy $12 million signing bonus. Why do you think you're not going to keep that guy on the bench? You got to go up and explain that money.
Yeah.
If that guy doesn't pan out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem there. It's the money with the owner. That's why you lay on them guys longer. That's why Howie lays on those guys longer. Hey, the more money you invest in somebody, Xander, the more you're going to hang in there with them.
100%.
Okay? 100%. And that's why you hang on them picks. So it's a common theme, but that's common. That's why, you know why they move off of Reed Blankenship? Look at the little money they invested in them. No money as a UDFA.
Yep.
No money in any way whatsoever. You know, people are talking to me. They're going, hey, what about this kid Brisker in Chicago? Like, why didn't you sign Blankenship? It's the same money.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a eerily close to home analogy, because if I invested less money in Jacob, this bitch would have been done a long time ago. But when you invest your entire life and your entire checkbook and your entire money and your entire account and everything you have to your name and your time, you're going to do whatever you can to keep that sucker going. That's just how – it's a great analogy, though. It is true. You know, it is true versus something. Hey, yeah, I spent a week on that and $10. Nobody gives a shit. You let it die.
Yeah, I'd be on Joker Sports if that happened.
Yeah, you would. You would.
All right, so we covered that here. How about your boy here that they signed? Tariq Woolen, what do you make of it?
I like it, man. I think it's a good signing. I mean, yep. You know, it looks closer to about $12 million. The $15 million is with incentives. Yep. So we'll see what the actual guaranteed money is. But look, he's a good player. He's been a pretty good player. He's young. He's got great size, great speed, great athleticism. I think it's going to be better for him with Vic Fangio. But look, I'm not going to sit here and say it's a certified home run. The guy has had some concerns. He's been benched by both coaching staffs. I did confirm that. So let's see. I think it's a good signing though for the team. I mean, Sills, this is what I said earlier. Ready? And I'm going to use the Tariq Woolen question to go back to what we just talked about. All right. Imagine this defense. Yesterday, we were a little, whoa, what are the Eagles doing? Are they letting this defense blow up? All right. You let Jalen Phillips walk, Nakobe Dean, Reed Blankenship. You sign Tariq Woolen. Now imagine you send your first round pick. You get Max Crosby next to Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, and Moro Ojomo with Jalix Hunt on the other side. That's your front five. You have Jahad Campbell and Zach Bond as your two linebackers. You have Quinyon Mitchell. You have Cooper DeJean, and you have Tariq Woolen. I mean, dude, that's a pretty damn good defense right there. And Andrew McCuba at safety, which we don't know yet. But, I mean, I think that's a championship defense. So I would make the move, and I think Tariq Woolen does give you, you know, that versatility as well, Sills, because John pointed this out where because of the style of player he is, when you have base defense, you're going to be able to put Cooper DeJean at safety, you know, versus last year they kicked Cooper DeJean outside because they didn't trust Adoree Jackson as much. So if you have Cooper DeJean at safety, you can keep Woolen outside in the base defense. That allows you – It's not too big because they don't play base defense that much, but what it allows you to do is focus in on a certain skill set for a safety, as opposed to needing a guy who can play every snap, do every different thing. So I think there's some versatility there, and I think it's definitely an upgrade over Adoree Jackson last year. One of the big talking points on the defense last year. So I'm excited. I think it's a good signing for the Birds.
How much influence do you think Clint Hurd had in this signing?
Probably not much. I do like
that. Played for him.
Yeah, right. I do know. Well, I'm sure they asked Clint about him, obviously, you know, but I don't know. I mean, I'm of the belief that it's Howie's world and the coaches are living in it, dude. I mean, remember they asked Vic that question last year and he was like, yeah, I have no say, guys. I have none. So if Vic has no say, I don't think Clint Hurd has any say.
So it looks like that the progression has begun for the replacement of Vic Fangio. Clint Hurt getting the associate head coaching position, that tag on him means this now.
Wait, did they give him that?
Yes.
Okay.
The new listings for the jobs and the new coaching staff listings have came out this morning. And this is how they said it. Clint Hurt, defensive line, senior defensive assistant, and associate head coach. That's a pay raise.
Yeah, it's a pay raise. Yep.
And also, it guards the Eagles from losing them.
Right.
Okay. Now, if somebody wants
to put them in a better spot when it comes to, you know, elevating him to be the potential defensive coordinator.
There's no doubt he's going to be the first guy up to play.
Well, they never did that for Christian Parker.
No, they did not. And I think maybe they learned their lesson there. Or maybe
I don't know. I don't think that
they wanted... Clint was going to be it the whole time.
Yeah, John told me he doesn't think that was he. As much as they liked Christian Parker, he did not get the vibe that the Eagles were looking for that.
So again, that to me, they got a progression plan. You know, they got a plan here.
I think the plan should be to try and keep Vic as long as you can, but I do think Vic's done after this year.
Hold on.